The African American experience is reflected right now on the walls of the Smithsonian American Art Museum in Washington. Exuberant dancing in Chicago, laundry on a line in the nation's capital, a girl smiling out from her father's warm jacket. Photographs, paintings, sculptures from the 20s through the 90s. Here's NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg.
Does this show segregate, or at least compartmentalize? Yes, says one of the African Americans who served as consultants. But Renee Ater, art historian at the University of Maryland, says it also shows African Americans involved in visual conversations that have absorbed all artists of all races.
They're concerned with color, they're concerned with line, they're concerned with form. And that's one of the things that you see in the show. And the other thing about this exhibition is that you see African-American faces looking out at you.
Unusual still in a 21st century museum. A story about one of the artists in the show, Lois Jones, underscores the point. Jones studied painting in Paris and Boston, taught at Howard, had a firm reputation. But curator Virginia Mecklenburg says Jones' background took her just so far.
In the 30s, when she wanted to send her work to a show, she usually sent it anonymously, and she did not deliver it. She sent it by an art shipper because she was fairly convinced, and rightly so, that if whatever museum was receiving the painting knew that it was painted by a black woman, that it would probably have very little chance of getting on the walls.
Now the American Art Museum walls are full of 100 works by 43 African Americans collected for 30 years by the Smithsonian. The museum claims the largest collection of African American art in the world, a critical mass that prompts this exhibit. More photographs than paintings in the show. Powerful black and white images shot in Baltimore, Houston, Norfolk, 170th Street in the Bronx. That one, taken by Robert McNeil in 1938, is called Make a Wish, the title of a movie poster hanging in the corner of the image. Its subtitle, Bronx Slave Market. In front of a wall, a man in a cap and beat-up leather jacket and two women wrapped in coats against the sunny cold, ratty fur, some help maybe along one coat collar. All three are looking for day work, cleaning, hauling. It's a photograph about patience, endurance, and hope.
They never knew if they were going to get work. Mm-hmm. They just sat there and waited.
Curator Virginia Mecklenburg says the photo's lineup remains familiar.
You see it in Home Depot parking lots as men who are waiting for day labor, for construction work, for gardening, lawn work.
Farm labor, the kind that reaps sweat and aches along with the crops, is painter Benny Andrews' subject in The Long Rose. Made in 1966, it's Andrews' memory of his sharecropper parents, hoeing the red Georgia earth on a hot summer day. You see a broad back and backside over bare legs.
We don't actually know if it's a man or a woman hoeing a row of cotton.
This is Betsy Broon, director of the American Art Museum.
But this figure looks like an outdoor monument or sculpture, so massive. And suddenly we realize the perspective we're getting is that of a small child trailing behind.
And whoever it is bending in a way that hurts your back.
Yes.
Holding that hoe to the earth. On a nearby wall, two little boys who could also have been working in that field. Malvin Gray Johnson's Depression-era painting is called Brothers. Barefoot, with big hands for their age, maybe 8 and 10, the boys wear overalls and hats against the sun. Again, curator Virginia Mecklenburg.
One of the things I most love about it is the way the younger brother really leans up against the other as though his older brother is the protector. I mean, he is someone who will care for the younger sibling.
This is made in 1934, and it's an image that you'd expect to see of Southern life, African-American Southern life in that day. It's almost now in the 21st century a cliché because, thank goodness, we've come very far in so many ways. And yet I bet at its time, in its day, it was very unusual to have a painting like this made.
It was unusual. Johnson actually did this while he was working for something called the Public Works of Art Project, which was a government-sponsored program that allowed artists to paint whatever it was that they chose to paint. Well, scenes of little black boys sitting in a yard would not have had any market, certainly not in New York in the 1930s. But because of this federal program, Johnson could paint things that he thought were important for us to see.
Huey Lee Smith shows us a more contemporary image of two young people, girls with the long, skinny legs of adolescents. His 1970 painting is full of tension. Museum director Betsy Bruhn says it's clear, although also mysterious, why Smith calls this work Confrontation.
They're both standing somewhat separated, somewhat apart, and they're in a landscape that's a little hard to understand. It appears to have a ruined wall behind them, a brick wall. Beyond that, you have a glimpse of the water of the ocean. It has a feeling of desolation.
Bruhn thinks Huey Lee Smith may be the great poet of alienation.
He is able to convey the thwarted lives of growing up in a society where the full opportunity is not open to you. And I think this was really important, you know, after World War II, and even before the civil rights movement, and after, to convey that sense of what it means to be an African-American adolescent ready to move ahead with your life, but feeling you're lost in a ruined landscape in some way.
African-American art, Harlem Renaissance, civil rights era, and beyond, remains at the Smithsonian American Art Museum through early September, then travels to seven other museums in the country. It offers a wide, colorful range of visions, tense, hopeful, optimistic, abstract, plus a stunning catalog. In Washington, I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
If you can't travel to see the exhibit, not to worry. You can see works from the show at npr.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Greene.